If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. A word about the mess that's in Afghanistan right now. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Now let's pray. Lord, we look at Afghanistan right now. It's just absolute darkness, absolute evil. So much suffering going on there right now. So much tension and fear and worry. Ask, Lord, you would just speak to us today and help us to sort out what's going on there and what we need to do about it, how we need to respond to it. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. After Joe Biden announced last April the 14th that all U.S. troops would be pulled out of Afghanistan by September 11th, the Afghan National Army collapsed and the Taliban started sweeping across the country, recapturing in 4 months what they had lost over the last 20 years, mostly without even firing a shot because the U.S. just stood by and let it happen. And of course, all the Taliban terrorism and murder and persecution of Christians started in again like we knew it would and led to the absolute mess of the humanitarian crisis that we see right now at the airport in Kabul. People, this is an absolute unmitigated disaster and the stupidest foreign policy decision that you and I have ever seen in our lifetimes. Thank you, Joe Biden. And to rub your noses in it even more, last Monday the Taliban came out with that piece of propaganda. A picture showing elite members of the Taliban commando unit, the Bajri 313, raising the Taliban flag just like the U.S. Marines raised the U.S. flag over Mount Suribachi at the Battle of Iwo Jima, the most powerful picture in the history of our country. And what makes it even worse, those commandos are decked out in camo uniforms and tactical battle gear left behind by the Americans, spitting all over us, our country, our history, our tradition, our reputation as the most powerful nation in the history of the whole wide world, on and on. Folks, the fall of Afghanistan is not a military withdrawal. It is a military surrender and one of the most humiliating things that has ever happened in the history of this country. And our text this morning not only explains what happened there, it also explains why it happened and how we need to respond to it right now. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, tells us three things that we need to do with the train wreck that we see in Afghanistan right now. Three things that we need to learn, or it really is too late for us for sure. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to learn from Afghanistan is the wicked are ruling there and the people are groaning there because of it. And it's been like that for a long, long time. After a coup in 1978, the Soviet military invaded Afghanistan. But then the Afghani Mujahideen, with the help of President Ronald Reagan and the CIA, beat the Soviets. Then after a civil war, the Taliban, under the leadership of Mullah Omar and Osama bin Laden, took control of that country and started planning terrorist attacks from there all over the world, in Kenya, in Tanzania, in America on 9/11. Then the United States invaded Afghanistan October of 2001, and the Taliban leaders had to head for the hills in Iran and Pakistan. The Americans set up an Afghani parliament. Major combat operations ceased in 2004. Then last April the 14th, Joe Biden decided to bring all the troops home. And the question is, why? Why pull out all U.S. soldiers out of Afghanistan? Because President Barack Obama and President Donald Trump wanted to do the same thing, but they changed their minds. You say, but Kevin, 2,448 American soldiers were killed there. Over 20,000 more American troops were injured there. It's cost us $2 trillion. How long do you want to keep fighting an endless war? But folks, it wasn't an endless war because an American soldier hadn't been killed in Afghanistan since February of 2020. And we only had 2,500 U.S. troops there to start with, mostly peacekeepers, because all the major fighting was being done by the Afghan National Army. The United States was just providing the training, the intel, and the air support. And even though we were spending $45 billion there every year, look what it got us. The U.S. got a presence in a very dangerous part of the world. The enemy had been neutralized. The Taliban, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda were all in check. The country was not being used to plan terrorist attacks all over the world. Afghanistan had been stabilized. The economy was picking up. Children had been going to school for the last 20 years. What's not to like? Folks, we have U.S. troops in Germany and Japan for the 70 years after World War II now, for crying out loud. For a reason. But Kevin, 20 years is long enough to end the war. Yeah, but with the Taliban back in control now, the war's just getting started. It's not over at all. Because see, now the exact same people who helped plan 9/11 are back in charge of the country. And the whole country this time. The entire thing, even more than before. Now, that name Taliban literally means students. Perverted Muslim terrorists who enforce strict Sharia law with beatings, torture, murder, kidnapping, beheadings, you name it. The very first thing the Taliban did when they took over Afghanistan, they went right after every Afghani citizen that collaborated with the United States military. People were shot, they were hung from bridges, women were beaten and beheaded for not wearing burqas. Right now the Taliban are going all over Afghanistan. Any father in Afghanistan that has daughters 12 years old and older, they're making them put an X on the side of their house. So the Taliban can quickly find those girls and give them as wives to their fighters. And any father who does have 12-year-old daughters 12 years old and older, if they don't put an X on the side of their house, the Taliban comes in and executes the entire family. All women in that country right now over the age of 25, the Taliban are murdering their husbands and selling those women into sex slavery. The Taliban are shooting little girls on the way to school. People, what kind of carnival freak religion uses snipers to shoot little girls in the head just for going to school? These are some of the most evil, demented, twisted, despicable people on the face of the earth. And the question is, where's LeBron James? Where's Black Lives Matter? Where's Michelle Obama in the squad? Calling out the Taliban for abusing women and racism against all kinds of ethnic groups. Cue the crickets. Now, the vast majority of the Afghani people hate the Taliban and are absolutely scared to death of them. And so desperate to get away, they are hiding in the wheel wells of jets that are taking off from the airport at Kabul and then falling to their death once those jets get up in the air. One of them was 17-year-old Zaki Anwari, star member of the Afghan national youth soccer team, who decided he'd lots rather be dead than try to live under the Taliban. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And they are groaning like crazy in Afghanistan now. 80,000 Afghani civilians who collaborated with the United States military. The families of 57,000 Afghan National Army soldiers who died fighting against the Taliban. And what's happening to Christians in Afghanistan right now? Well, Christians in Afghanistan, even before, had to live underground. Because according to Muslim law, any Muslim that converts to Christianity, they get disowned by their family, they lose their inheritance, they get beaten, they get put in prison. But right now, the Taliban is just finding Christians and just killing them. Stopping people on the street and checking their cell phones. And if the person has a Bible app on their phone indicating that they're a Christian, they get shot in the head. Christians all over Afghanistan right now are getting notes and emails that say this: we know who you are and we are coming for you. And Christians are absolutely scared to death. The picture you see on the screen here is a Christian woman, Christian wife and mother, who was murdered by the Taliban a week and a half ago outside of Kandahar. In case anybody doesn't know, that's what happens to Christians all over the world when leftists in America who just think they're Christians vote for leaders like Joe Biden. So can we just say once and for all, stop all the whining and the griping and the belly aching about this Christians should not be involved in politics? Can we just admit once and for all that politics do matter and that they matter a lot? Because when you vote for evil leaders and they are in power and they rule, they cause people to groan. And they're groaning in Afghanistan like nobody's business. But the good news is, no matter what kind of hellhole Afghanistan is right now, God is still doing incredible things to deliver His people. Kia Safi was born in Afghanistan and raised Muslim there. And because his father was really good at computers, he got a job working for the United States military, doing logistics in the Green Zone. And because it paid so well, Kia Safi got a job for the United States military, doing logistics in the Green Zone too. Food supplies and fuel and electricity. And even oversaw a bunch of construction projects. But because Kia Safi and his father were collaborating with the U.S. military, the Taliban, who has spies everywhere, put them on a hit list. So one day in 2008, the Taliban ambushed Kia Safi and one of his construction crews. But by the grace of God, they escaped with their lives. But because Kia Safi saw how evil the Taliban was, he started to wonder in his mind whether or not his Islam really was true. And then one night in 2009, Jesus Christ Himself appeared to him in a dream and said this, "Allah is not God. I, Jesus, am God alone, and your only salvation is through the cross. I am the unseen God. Trust in me, and I will make you unseen to your enemies too." And even though he didn't understand what the last part of that meant, he prayed to receive Christ and got saved and became a Christian and was big in the underground Afghan church until 2011, when he got political asylum, was able to come here to the United States, get a really good job. Last March, he became an official U.S. citizen. But then just last July, just last month, he flew back to Kabul, Afghanistan to help his father who had just had eye surgery. But then the Taliban started overrunning the country. So he put his dad in a safe place and got a ticket to fly out of Kabul back here to the United States on August the 18th. But the Taliban took control of the city on August the 15th. And the Taliban had all the records, all the IDs, all the photos of everybody who had collaborated with the United States. So Kia Safi became public enemy number one. And at first he tried hiding out in his apartment in the Green Zone, but even that got too dangerous. And every time he prayed about it, Jesus would always tell him exactly the same thing. "I am the unseen God, and I will make you unseen to your enemies. I am the unseen God, and I will make you unseen to your enemies." Well, last week the Taliban started going door to door in the Green Zone, looking for collaborators. And Kia Safi prayed about it. Jesus said, "Go, go, I am the unseen God and I will make you unseen to my enemy." So he walked out of his apartment, got half a block away, and a car bomb that the Taliban had planted outside of his building blew his apartment to smithereens. But he wasn't hurt a lick and kept on walking toward the airport. 300 yards later, he came up to the first Taliban checkpoint, scared to death because they knew who he was. But as he walked closer to those guards, they weren't even looking at him. Like they were looking right through him. Like he was wearing a cloaking device. And he walked on by. God miraculously blinding the eyes of the Taliban so they could not see him. And that didn't just happen once. It happened 7 times that day on the way to the airport. And the Taliban was out in the streets of Kabul shooting Afghani people at random. 6 people got killed, shot and killed right next to Kia Safi, this far away as he walked by. But the Taliban never saw him. "I am the unseen God, and I will make you unseen to your enemies." Got closer to the airport, one final Taliban checkpoint. And all the Taliban guards had pads with all the pictures and all the info and all the names of all the collaborators. Kia Safi knew that his picture was on that pad. But as he got closer to the checkpoint again, it was like the Taliban soldiers looked right through him and didn't even see him, like he was the invisible man. "I am the unseen God, and I will make you unseen to your enemies." Got inside the airport, realized that his scheduled flight was an American C-17 cargo plane. But there were Afghani airport workers out there with sticks beating people away, saying, "The plane is full, there's no more room." But again, Kia Safi walked right by him. They did not even see him. He got on the plane and got back here to the United States. "I am the unseen God, and I will make you unseen to your enemies." Hallelujah. Christians, listen to me. In times like these, we've got to start trusting that God can not only save us from our sins, but He can also save us from our enemies. I don't care how big or bad or evil those enemies are. I don't care how dangerous the situation seems. We believe in a God who can deliver us from absolutely anything that the devil or every demon power in hell can throw at us. So even if God does not give us the ability to defeat our enemies, God can still give us the ability to avoid them and escape them. And God, please, 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 blind the eyes of the Taliban right now so that the Christians in Afghanistan are unseen to them, because they are groaning like nobody's business. The first thing that we need to learn from what's going on in Afghanistan right now, evil leaders are ruling there and the people are groaning there. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to learn from Afghanistan. Evil leaders are ruling here in America and people are groaning here in America because of it. In light of what's happened in Afghanistan. Because our leaders today are so woke, they can't even begin to deal with or even understand what's going on over there. See, our leaders think the terrorists aren't evil. They're just victims of the United States. So everything the terrorists do wrong, it's America's fault. That's why President Barack Obama ran away from Syria and Benghazi and gave the mullahs of Iran a nuclear weapons program and hundreds of billions of dollars in American cash. See, if you're just nice to the terrorists, they'll be nice to you. Really. Because see that terrorist right there? One of the ringleaders of the Taliban in Kabul today? A terrorist named Karullah Kerkwa. He was one of the five Taliban leaders that President Obama let out of Gitmo back in 2014. And look what he's doing in Afghanistan now. But see, every terrorist is just a friend that we haven't made yet. Right? The left doesn't believe that the terrorists are evil because they think you conservative Christians are the terrorists. They think you're the ones that are evil. Stephen Colbert said this. Why should our soldiers be fighting radicals in Afghanistan when we had our own Taliban on Capitol Hill last January the 6th? The left can put 25,000 U.S. troops in Washington, D.C. to protect Congress, but they can't put 25,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan to protect American citizens. The Taliban used Twitter to send thousands and thousands of instructions to their field general to overtake Afghanistan. But Donald Trump gets banned from Twitter for life. Christians, the left thinks that you are the terrorists. And our leaders today totally ignore the only thing that the Muslim world really respects. When you run down your country, Muslims think that your country is weak. And yet Joe Biden and Kamala Harris constantly say America's systemically racist. The chairman of the chiefs of staff, General Mark Milley, says America's suffering from white rage. Dick Durbin says over and over again, the number one threat to our country is white privilege. Are you kidding me? And what's the result of that? It's the attacks. It emboldens the enemy and just makes it worse. Our leaders today are totally blind to the fact that the Muslim world does not respect LGBT at all, and rightly so. And yet, the Pentagon pushes for transgender soldiers. They flew the gay pride flag over top of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. They taught gender identity studies at Kabul University. You talk about tone deaf. Osama bin Laden famously said this. When people see a strong horse and a weak horse, they will like the strong horse. The only thing that Muslims in the Middle East respect is power. So in the real world, in the face of real evil, in the real world, woke is totally broke. It doesn't work. Americans today are groaning because of Joe Biden, because what's going on in Afghanistan right now is all his doing. Totally. He ignored his military advisors. He ignored his foreign policy advisors. He ignored NATO leaders. He ignored other world leaders and pulled our troops out anyway. You know why? Because he's Joe Biden. He's historic. He's the new FDR. He's the transformational president that's going to end the war in Afghanistan. And you know why? Because Joe Biden is a mean, arrogant, lying, stupid, old political hack who has never been right about anything in foreign policy since the Vietnam War. And he was nowhere near capable, physically or mentally, of doing this job. And everybody knew it. The left knew it. The media knew it. All other world leaders knew it. All you never Trumpers listen to the sermon right now. You knew it. And you voted that guy into the White House anyway. So John Piper and Ed Stetzer and Christianity Today and all you dumb Trumpers, are you happy now? Because an entire nation is being destroyed right in front of our very eyes. And hundreds of people are being killed, including 13 U.S. servicemen. And they impeached Donald Trump over a phone call? What kind of idiot pulls troops out of a hostile country before you get your citizens out? Did you honestly think the Taliban was just going to let us walk away? They're terrorists, for crying out loud. And he lies about it. Oh, we had every contingency thought of. Well, obviously not. But he promised us the evacuation of Afghanistan would not be like the evacuation of Saigon. And at that point, he's technically right, because it's worse. And that's reason why we have this mess that we've got going on in that country right now. All the weapons and military equipment that we lost. 75,000 Humvees, mine-resistant ambush vehicles that cost $767,000 apiece, armored personnel carriers, 208 airplanes and helicopters, including 20 A-29 Super Tucano attack aircraft, costing $21 million apiece, 78,000 drones, 600 rifles, 25,000 grenade launchers, $83 billion worth of equipment. So the Taliban now has the 26th biggest air force in the world and more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia. Folks, it is so stupid, it makes you wonder, was it on purpose? Joe Biden abandoned Bagram Air Force Base. Just a 20-minute flight from the airport in Kabul. A safe, fortified, strategic location with multiple runways that could have evacuated a lot of Americans a lot faster than the airport in Kabul. But see, it's not about evacuating American citizens. You know why Joe Biden closed Bagram Air Force Base? So the U.S. military purposely would not be able to extract American citizens from all over Afghanistan. See, from the very beginning, every Biden administration official had the same message. We will get every American out of Afghanistan who wants to get out of Afghanistan. What's that mean? They ain't all getting out. Right now, the airport in Kabul is totally controlled by the U.S. military, but the entire surrounding area is controlled by Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So last week, the State Department was telling American citizens, we can get you out on a plane from the airport in Kabul, as long as you can get to Kabul from wherever you're at in Afghanistan, and then once you get to Kabul, if you can get through all the terrorist checkpoints and get to the airport. But we're not going to help you with that, so you're on your own. So any American who doesn't get out of Afghanistan, I guess they didn't want to get out of Afghanistan. They're not even serious about the evacuation. As of last Thursday, over 110,000 people evacuated from the airport in Kabul. 16% of them were American citizens. 16%! Remember that old American saying that we have, leave no man behind? Forget that, because Kabul right now is the biggest hostage situation in the history of the whole wide world, along with the entire country. You say, well, Kevin, other countries are using their military to go out in parts of Afghanistan and extract their citizens and take them out. Yeah, but Joe Biden won't let the United States military do that. And you know why? Because in the process of extracting U.S. citizens, they might have to fire at the terrorists, which would restart the war. And Joe Biden is the president who ended the war in Afghanistan. So his image is a lot more important than people's lives. But hey, at least there's no more mean tweets, right? Just dead Americans. Do we see the groaning? Do we hear the groaning right now in this country because of what's happening there right now? And what about all the American servicemen who sacrificed for that country? What do you tell them? What do you tell their families? What do you tell his family? Master Sergeant Andrew Marcusano, they called him Captain America, 6 full tours of Afghanistan with the Army Rangers and the 82nd Airborne. Decorated Green Beret, Silver Star recipient, fought in 2009 in the Agrandab Valley with the 2508. Fighting that was so fierce, July the 6th, 2020, Andrew Marcusano pulled out a Glock and committed suicide in front of his wife, leaving her and 3 little kids behind. What that guy did for Afghanistan cost him so much, he took his own life. And how can you abandon that country now and tell his wife and those 3 little kids it was all for nothing? God, help us people. The groaning that's going on because what's happening with our leaders here in this nation. But Christians, we can't forget something. Something very important. Right now, we are living in a kingdom where wicked people are ruling, and because of that, the rest of the people are groaning. But as Christians, we also live in another kingdom where a righteous one is ruling, and because of that, the people are rejoicing. As of today, every single province in Afghanistan is controlled by the Taliban. All 34 provinces, all provinces except one. The Panjshir province, the Panjshir Valley, 90 miles north of Kabul, a stronghold controlled by a leader named Ahmad Massoud, son of the famous resistance fighter Ahmad Shah Massoud, who beat back every invasion by the Soviets between 1979 and 1989, and also by the Taliban throughout the 1990s, partly because the Panjshir Valley is so narrow, there's only one narrow way into it. Massoud and his men call themselves the National Resistance Front. And they've never been conquered, and they have never been defeated, especially by terrorists, because they believe that all ethnic groups in Afghanistan are equal and should have equal rights. Well, last week, the Taliban started massing buku troops around the Panjshir Valley and cut off all their supply lines. And the Taliban bragged that the Panjshir province would fall in less than a week. Here's what Ahmad Massoud said. "We will not lose. I don't care how hopeless or helpless our situation may seem. I don't care how outnumbered we may be. We will not stop. We will not quit. No matter what happens to us, we will take the sword and attack and win. Because Panjshir province is God's territory and we will never be defeated." Christians, listen to me. At a time when leftist idiots are in control of this country and trying to destroy us and every single thing that we believe and that we stand for, we've got to remember we have a stronghold too. The shadow of the Most High, the shelter of God, the presence of God in our lives. And it's never been conquered, it's never been defeated, and it never will be. Because there's only one narrow way into it, and that's through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. So Christians, we serve notice today on every enemy that is out there. Every leftist, every terrorist, every deep state politician, every demon power in hell. I don't care how outnumbered we are. I don't care how surrounded we are. We will not quit. We will not stop. We will not sit down, shut up, or roll over. They will not cancel us or put us out of business, because we will take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We will keep attacking. We will keep fighting and changing people's hearts and changing people's minds until everybody gets saved or till Jesus comes back, whichever comes first. So all you enemies who may be listening to this sermon right now, bring it on. Because our stronghold is sovereign territory. This is the house of the Lord. This piece of the nation still belongs to God. We're never going to quit. We're never going to surrender. We're never going to be defeated. We are never going to be conquered. Because 1 Corinthians 15:57 says God always, 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 always gives us victory in Jesus Christ. So go ahead, make my day, and just try and take it. The second thing we need to understand from Afghanistan, when the wicked rule, the people groan. Where the righteous one rules, the people rejoice. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to learn from Afghanistan, and it's this. America needs God like nobody's business. Because what Afghanistan shows us is that America right now is under God's judgment. The United States of America is the most powerful nation in the history of the world, with the greatest military the world has ever known. And yet we are surrendering to 8th century barbarians. Because it's the Taliban that's calling the shots right now in Afghanistan. They're the ones determining U.S. foreign policy. Remember that old saying, we don't negotiate with terrorists? Well, now we take orders from them. We are getting out on August the 29th or 31st because the Taliban said August the 31st. Why can't we say to the Taliban, we are not leaving here until every single one of our American citizens is the heck out of this country. And if you harm even one little hair on their chinny chin chin, we will unleash hell and hunt you down to the ends of the earth and bomb you and your villages back to the Stone Age. You know what President Donald Trump told the Taliban operative back in 2019? We know who you are, we know your name, we know where your family lives. And if you break this agreement, we will rain down fire and brimstone till you rue the day that you were born. Now I realize that's harsh. But folks, Joe Biden would never do that. Our U.S. military has the ability. Our commander-in-chief doesn't have the will or the guts. One sign that a nation is being judged by God, Leviticus 26:17, you will be defeated by your enemies. And people who hate you will rule over you. That's what's happening now. A dying nation is a nation that does not defend itself or its own citizens. Welcome to Joe Biden's America. On 9/11, every single member of the U.S. Congress stood on the steps of the U.S. Capitol building and held hands and sang God Bless America together. That was unity. But last Tuesday, during the hostage crisis in Afghanistan, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was pushing the John Lewis bill. That would destroy the entire election process in this country. And also another $3 trillion spending bill that would push us even closer to communism. The Taliban trying to destroy us from the outside. The left trying to destroy us from the inside. Unity, my eye. We need the Lord. God help us, America. We need the Lord. And thank goodness we still see the Lord at work in the actions of the United States military. Last August the 19th. In the crush of thousands and thousands of people trying to get in the airport at Kabul, a family got separated. Dad got in, Mom got left out. So Mom, in the video, lifts the baby up, go ahead, to one of the United States Marines guarding the top of the fence, the top of the wall. Notice, she didn't hand the baby to the Taliban or a member of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. She handed him to one of the United States Marines. And they located the father, gave him the baby, got the mom inside the airport, and reunited the family. That's one family that was saved. The picture you see on the screen is the inside, previous picture. The inside of an American C-17 cargo plane. Just about to take off last Sunday, August the 22nd, with 640 people on board. A C-17 is only supposed to carry 170,000 pounds, 134 soldiers. They had five times that number of people. Five times the recommended limit. One of the heaviest passenger loads a C-17 has ever carried. You talk about dangerous. But the American pilots took off anyway and made it out and got those people saved. And do you know why our United States military still does things like that? Because enough of our soldiers still have a biblical worldview from one nation under God that tells them that every single life, no matter who they are, no matter what age they are, no matter what race or color they are equal and valuable and precious to God and should be saved. God help us, people. Do we need the Lord right now in this country? We need God because what's happening right now in Afghanistan is something that is affecting us as an entire nation in the world. Because sadly enough, what happens in Afghanistan doesn't stay in Afghanistan. We move to the Middle East, our enemies move in. Last week, Saudi Arabia signed a military protection agreement with Russia because Saudi Arabia no longer trusts us to protect them. China now has the mineral rights to $3 trillion worth of lithium in Afghanistan. Iran is now doing joint military exercises with Russia and China. And right now the Taliban is selling them all of our military technology from all the drones and the guided missiles and the Black Hawk helicopters that we left behind. Joe Biden has single-handedly resurrected Islamic terrorism, so there's going to be more 9/11s and more San Bernardinos all over the West. And how do you think our allies feel right now? Joe Biden jumped all over NATO leaders who are also trying to get their people out of Afghanistan too. And what about the Ukraine that's depending on the United States to defend them against Russia? What about Taiwan that's depending on the United States to protect them against China? Remember when Joe Biden said America's back? And all of our allies love us now? Well, you can forget that. Afghanistan will become the terrorist capital of the world. They will hook up with Iran. They'll be the deciding factor in the war in Syria, and Israel gets threatened more and more and more and more. We need the Lord because what is going on in Afghanistan right now is setting the table for all God's events and all God's plans for the last days. The Bible tells us in Psalm 83, there is a war coming. Now, this is before the Battle of Gog and Magog and before the Battle of Armageddon. This is what kicks off the whole show. Psalm 83, when Israel is attacked by Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Gaza, and the West Bank. And the Bible indicates that there's going to be nuclear weapons involved. And the whole area is going to be scorched. And out of the mess, the Antichrist will ride to save the day. And the peace treaty of Daniel 9:27 will be signed. And the great tribulation is going to start. But the question is, where do those attackers get nuclear missiles? Because Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, the Palestinians, they don't have nuclear weapons. But see, 6 years ago, a congressional panel called the Afghan Study Group came to the conclusion the Afghani government did have nuclear missiles secretly. Whether they got them from Pakistan, wherever, they had them. Which means, who has them now? The Taliban. Ah, that's where those nuclear weapons come from. So everything that is necessary for the Psalm 83 war and the appearance of the Antichrist is already in place. Bible prophecy says during the Battle of Armageddon, China, with a 100 million man army, is going to attack Israel from the east, traveling west. And when you look on a map, it's clear sailing from China all the way to Israel, through all kinds of Muslim nations that already hate Israel with a passion. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, all the way to Israel. But for the last 20 years, there's been one nation standing in their way. And that's Afghanistan. And why? Because the United States military was there. But now, with U.S. troops pulled out, China's got an interstate highway. People, what we're seeing happening in Afghanistan right now, and we're watching it in front of our very eyes, is setting the stage for the eyes of the Antichrist and the Battle of Armageddon. It's coming, people. Get ready. It's coming, ready or not. And how do we need to respond to it? Of all the scary pictures that have come out of the fall of Afghanistan, the freakiest ones of all are the pictures of the thousands and the thousands of Afghani people flocking to the airport in Kabul. And so crazy desperate, they are pushing and shoving and fighting each other to get on a plane, any plane, because they know if they get left behind, they're going to die. And what breaks your heart even more are the pictures of the wild-eyed looks of terror on the people's faces who don't get on the plane. And then they do this. Okay. They start running next to those C-17 cargo planes. And they cling on to the landing gear and then fall to their death once those planes get up in the air, because it's not good enough to be on the outside of the plane. You've got to be on the inside. Folks, those C-17s have 160,000 pounds of thrust coming out of them. And yet those people are so desperate, they still think they've got a better chance of surviving that than they do living under the Taliban. Those planes are absolutely the only hope that they have to be saved. So when they miss them, that's what absolute terror and absolute hopelessness really, really looks like. But you know what? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the Bible says we are living in the last days. And just like that, the rapture is going to take all the Christians out of the world. And then the Antichrist is going to start creating hell on earth during the Great Tribulation. That's going to make the fall of Afghanistan look like a Sunday school picnic. Rape and torture and murder and humanitarian crisis, the likes of which the world has never seen before. Revelation 6:16 says people will be so scared they will gnaw their tongues and cry out for the mountains to fall on them, then crush them and kill them. But it won't happen, because there won't be any escape. Because the only way out of this disaster zone of a world is through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, died on a cross to pay the price for your sins and then rose from the dead for your salvation. So right now, if you confess your sins to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that can take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, He will forgive you. and He will take you out of here before all that hell on earth even gets started. Amen. Salvation in Jesus Christ is like an airplane that's taken off from all the crisis and the chaos and the apocalypse of this world, taking people to peace and safety and eternal life in heaven. And it's the only flight out because it's the only plane there is. And listen to me. You don't have to cling on to the landing gear because being on the outside won't do you any good. You've got to be on the inside. And you can be simply by turning from your sin and turning to Christ. So listen to me. No matter what, the most important thing of all, you got to be on that plane. And you do not have to push or shove or fight your way on because there's plenty of room for everybody who wants to go. And you don't have to worry whether or not you missed it because it's still boarding now. Today, right now, today is the day of salvation. So, come on. Come on. All aboard. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch and pray that you might escape all that is about to happen on the face of the earth and stand before the Son of God. There's somebody here today. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do that right now. We are living in times, people, that are far, far beyond our control. Far beyond our ability to even understand it or deal with it. We're maxed out. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know where your trust is. You've got to be sure about a relationship with Jesus for salvation. You're sitting here today. You're not. After this service is over, you come up front and let's pray together. Somebody else will pray with you if you'd like. And make your relationship with Jesus Christ sure. We're going to get out of here on a plane, and we want you to come with us. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for one person here today that does not know You as their Savior. Lord, we are just standing here with our jaws on the floor watching what is happening in this world. We cannot believe what we see. Things that we've never seen before in our entire lives, but things that are fulfilling Your Bible prophecy and Your plans for the end. I pray for one person here who does not know You that they would make that decision and be saved today. And Lord God, we cry out to You today for the people of Afghanistan. We pray for the Muslim people as well. God, use this to open their eyes and bring them to Christ. And God, we just pray for the Christians that are there, that are suffering, that are being murdered. All kinds of ways, Lord, that we don't even want to think about. They're groaning. God, I pray that You would hear their cries. I pray, Lord, that You would lift them out of that situation. We know, Lord, that You conquered Your enemies years and years ago with even 100-pound hailstones from heaven. Lord, do whatever You have to do, but we pray that they'd be rescued and saved. Pray we continue to send more help over there. And I just pray for us here in the United States of America. Lord, we are groaning under wicked rulers today who do not know the truth. And we know, Lord, the reason is because they don't know Jesus. They don't know You as their Savior. God, we ask, we pray, we cry out to You that You would change their hearts and minds. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.